Hey, it's Paul Stanley here on Podcast Rock City.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Sunny Hollywood Pony.
What's up, dude?
Hey, man. So I just finished watching the playoffs. So the Chiefs, Chris Sinzak's team, the Chiefs. And Sunny, where do you live right now?
San Francisco, baby.
Oh, my goodness. There's a little bit of bragging thing going to go on. Although, I mean, you're a Cowboys fan first.
I hate the Niners. It's my second most hated team ever.
Wow. Okay, but let me ask you this though. There will be no rivalry between you and Sinzak.
No, because I will be rooting for the Chiefs.
Okay. All right. So Chris Sinzak, one of the hosts of Decibel Geek Podcast. If you guys have never heard them, go check them out. I'm imagining the next couple of episodes, Chris will be very nervous waiting for his team, who hasn't been to the Super Bowl in our entire lifetimes. I think the last time they were in the Super Bowl, Sonny was zero. You might have just been born, right? 69.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I wasn't born.
It's been a while.
Yeah, 50 years. So you would have just been like maybe a couple months old. That's crazy if you think about it. It's a long drought. Anyway, so the Super Bowl will be fun this year. It's two different teams. I'm super excited about that. But you guys didn't come here to talk about that. You came here to talk about, or to hear us talk about, KISS.
Podcast Rock City News.
For me, I looked and I looked and I didn't see a whole lot of news. The only thing I did see, and I don't know if you saw it, Sonny, you probably did, was that restraining order? Is that what it's called?
Restraining order, yeah, with an R.
Restraining. What's a withstraining?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just made up a word. So get Webster and we're going to... Anyway, so the restraining order... I guess was denied, and Ace came out and he was holding his lawyer and he was like, this is the best lawyer, and he was all smiles. He looked big. Did you see the video?
I saw the video. He looked a little rough.
He looked like he was wearing a bulletproof vest.
He might have been.
It was he was big in the chest, and I said, you think he's wearing a bulletproof vest? I mean, you know, he might have a little Vinny-itis. Everybody's trying to kill me, yo. And I'm just saying, he might have been wearing a bulletproof vest just because. but he did not get the restraining order. I said it right. Restraining order against him. I don't know the whole story. I heard his ex talking about it and basically... I guess you had to be there.
I don't understand that whole bulletproof vest anyway. What good is it going to do you when they shoot you in the head?
In the head. Or the leg.
Well, the leg, you're not going to die. Like, you might bleed out, but it takes a while.
Yeah,
but if they shoot you square in the head, no bulletproof vest is going to help.
I got to say, though, that if I'm going to get shot, I think I'd rather be in the head and not in the leg. I better... hurts really bad.
Yeah, I would be just get it over with. One shot, done.
Anyway, all right. So that was the news. Did you see anything else? Oh, yeah.
No.
There is news, and I was just going to, like, gloss over it, but I can't. The Kiss Cruise 10 went on sale this week with all the announcements, and I will tell you this. The cruise is half sold already. Half the boat is already sold, and they did that in 2 days, okay? However, the bitching and moaning and groaning going on after the announcement of the, I guess, the activities that will be going on in the boat, you know,
was... Yeah, they've got people fired up about cutting a show, which I don't... You only got to see one of the shows anyway, right? You didn't get to go to both of them.
Okay, yes, that's true. However, the indoor show, they split. Okay, so in the indoor show, everybody gets their own seat, right? And it's like stadium seating. So, you know, the front row is like a pit. And then and then after that, it's a row, and then it goes up a stair and a row. So wherever you are, you have a great seat, right? And people were that no matter what, they knew I'm going to sit. I have a spot in an auditorium where I'm going to be, you know, 25 yards from the band. You know, 30 yards from the band. I can see, I'm that, it's not a huge place, okay? So wherever you are, you have a good seat. Like, if you look at the pictures that I posted, I'm on the first row right after the pit. And you can, I mean, it's like I'm right on top of the band, okay? I mean, you can almost hear, like, Paul's chains as he's dancing around. You know, it's pretty close. So if you're small, it's okay. Nobody's going to be standing up in front of you that you can't see over them because you're raised up. You follow me?
Yeah, I got you.
Now they're doing one show on the top deck with no seating, and it's just general admission. So basically, you're going to have people that are going to be going to the front of that stage at the beginning of the day and sitting. Plus, if they don't do it that way, I'm more worried about people running and fighting because they're trying to get positioned because this is the only show in makeup that they're going to get to see. The other thing that people were upset about, and I kind of understand, is that part of the reason booking year after year after year for these people that have been on 10 times is because they get first choice. If they want to sit in the very back of the arena, they can. If they want to pick a seat, they can. If they want to be in the pit, they can. You know, the whole reason for booking early and often was to get those perks. You follow me?
Yeah, I got you.
So you've taken them away from these people that have been now 9 times in a row so they could be front row or second row or in the pit at all. I mean, so close. And, you know, that's what they wanted. That's what, you know, it seems like that was always the promise. Again, you come on, you get first choice. You come on again, you get first choice. You come on again. And some of these people have been on 9 times. And you're talking about, you know, at $5,000 a year, let's say, you know, $45,000 to, and the cruise is more than Kiss. There's a lot going, you know, a lot happening, but still these people, you know, they didn't know this is going to be happening. And most of the complaints are from small people like Lori. You remember Lori that sat with us in Indy?
Yeah.
She's not the tallest person, and I've stood with her during the sail away show. I stood with her for about three or four songs, and there's just people all in front of us, and it's really hard to see. And I mean, out there, you guys might be going, "Oh, poor babies," and I get that 100%. But the truth is that these people have invested their money into being able to do this every year. Some of them are, you know, this is their vacation, so they wanted it to. They want it to be perfect, and this was kind of sprung on them last minute. And there's a lot of upset about it. However, it doesn't look like anybody didn't book. So they announced a couple other bands. Fozzy is going to be there, and Rat with Stephen Pearcy is going to be there. I don't recognize anybody else in his band.
Because there isn't anybody left in his band.
Yeah, that's just what I'm saying. Yeah. Fozzy being there when I'm and Queensryche. And when I mentioned to Karen that Fozzy was going to be there, she about lost her shit because she loves Fozzy. So that's pretty cool. So, yeah, Rat, Fozzy, Queensryche, Kiss. That seems all right so far. Let's see what else they get. Karen booked us. So basically, it's a Kiss acoustic Sail Away show, Kiss Masked Electric, pool deck show. That's the other thing. They took away the autographed commemorative gift. This year, it will be engraved. Now, I don't know why they did that. This is the 10th cruise, and maybe they wanted to do something special, right? So maybe it's a very special gift, and it's engraved. There is a conversation with Kiss hosted by Jericho and one other full band activity with Kiss. Two activities with each member of Kiss. The Kiss Expo with rare memorabilia. I'll tell you, that's pretty cool. I like, they'll give you something in your room that tells you where to go to see it all. And there's all kinds of stuff in there. Shows, activity, and autograph sessions with supporting artists and more. And the cruise goes to Belize and Honduras. So if you want to go and hang out with me, you got to book yourself in there. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, see, the Monsters of Rock cruise, the difference is they don't have this big band that's kind of controlling the cruise.
Uh-huh.
So what you get is they continue to do more and more and more. They're about to do their 10th cruise because they want people to stay interested. Right, so they'll add things. There was years ago they added when they actually get to port. There's actually bands that play on the beach. There can be bands on the boat, so you can leave and not leave. It's up to you. Like there's all these things that they do to try to keep you interested. Where Kiss seems to be going the other way, but there's not one person controlling. There's not one band controlling the Monsters of Rock. That's the difference.
Right. The hashtag was less for more. That was the thing that I saw the most. It seems like people are saying, you know, but I'm just, I like going on and seeing all my friends that I only see once or twice, maybe three times a year. My buddy Joe is always, I have a few Joe friends that are always there. Every time I run to Joe Ciambelli and his wife, Karen, he's always got something for me that's from Detroit. It usually says I have people in Detroit, shot glasses and drinking glasses. And it's a, you know, it's great every year. And, you know, Joe Dell is there. And I mean, so many people are there. And that's part of the fun. My friends that go every year, they're awesome. Ken and Kara, you know, they're there who, if you guys have never seen it, Karen and I did a documentary series, and they were on that. And so that's part of the fun. You know, you hang out with your friends, you go in the port, you have a drink, you go in the water. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, I think. And of course, Kiss being there is awesome, but it, to me, it's a lot more than that. So just have to wait. It's 10 months from now, so, or 9 months from now. So this was my announcement, and that'll be, there's going to be another pre-party, by Joe DeAngelo. He's already gotten started on that. And we'll just start feeding you the information. Of course, there's so much happening before that, including our topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yes!
Topic of the week this week, Paul Stanley. It's his birthday. As a matter of fact, we're recording this on the 19th, but I think his birthday is the 20th. So happy birthday, Paul Stanley. He's, I think he's 68. He's going to be 68. He was the young one, wasn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, he's still moving pretty good nowadays, right? I mean...
Oh, I think so.
He doesn't have the same... Nobody's moving like they were when they're 25.
No.
But he's still moving pretty good.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that he gets along just fine. When you watch the show, he's not able to do his jumps and stuff like that. But, I mean, 68 years old. He's still dancing up there and smiling and having fun and, you know, partying on stage. I don't expect him to jump in those boots and break a hip.
And he's one of those guys, like, he's got so many mannerisms that he's repeated since the mid-70s, basically, when they really got formed, right?
Right.
And... you know, part of me is like, can you do anything different? And then part of me is like, I'm not sure I'd be happy if you did something different.
Right. Yeah. If you watch, Paul's got these classic, I mean, he's still, and I'll tell you this, I have tried to grab that guitar, swing it between my legs and keep playing it, and then pull it out and keep playing it. And you know what? Can't do it.
Well, you can do it, but you might hurt your junk.
Oh, yeah, it's true. That'd be terrible. Like the swinging bag thing. I don't know what that's called. Punching bag. It'd just be bad. So he does just fine. And I stood there 15 feet away from him on the last cruise and watched and him and Gene. And I was amazed. Still, that Gene is 70 and Paul was 67 at the time, and they look healthy, taking care of themselves, don't you think?
Yeah, they're in, they're not doing all the crazy stuff, right? But,
right,
still, there's like Jagger's still out there. Is that unbelievable? Like, that guy is going to outlive the cockroaches. I mean, how is it possible?
Yeah, and Keith Richards. That's the real one.
And I don't care, you know, I've heard Gene say before, well, they're not carrying around 40 pounds of armor every night, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you didn't do the hard-ass drugs they did for 50 years either.
No, that's true. And I've never seen the Stones in concert. Have you?
Yeah, I've seen them. They're a little boring. I'm not totally into the music, and... number one, you know, I like the hits and stuff, but it's really Jagger doing all the moving. Richards is moving a little bit. Everybody else is pretty standstill. It's very much like Aerosmith. Like,
you can drive,
right? Tyler's doing all the moving. It's like AC/DC. It's the two guys doing all the moving. Everybody else stands still.
Yeah, I can't bother with that. I would fall asleep. Please, you know, I get why Springsteen is such a big popular thing. He's crazy on stage, you know, even now. But I couldn't sit there and watch people just do nothing.
Yeah, I'm okay with them. I will give the stage presence a break if it's a three-piece.
Sure. Right?
If it's a three-piece and... you know, obviously they're going to be musically talented because they're a three-piece to begin with. They're not going to be able to do the Paul Stanley moves, right?
Right.
But if it's a full five-piece, and especially if the singer's not playing an instrument, it's like, come on, dude. That's the problem I got with Piercy. Piercy never moves around. Dokken never moves around. Drives me crazy.
When I saw Dokken, the first time I ever saw them, they were Don Dokken... was had to sit in a chair because they had spent the night in Atlanta. I guess they got in early on the day. Excuse me, and went. I don't know. They were on the lake, and apparently he broke his leg. So I never, until my band opened for Doc on their 20th anniversary tour, I got to open a show, and it was a little busier. But that day, the first day, that was just him in a chair, and I'm sure some painkillers.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like when you, I've seen him several times now. Back in the 80s, maybe even early 90s, a little different. But after that, there's this full-length coat he wears. You would think that coat's 99 pounds because homie is not moving.
Pretty. All right, so let's talk about Paul Stanley for a little bit here. Would you say that when Paul's, or the whole band Kiss, for instance, but Paul Stanley himself made, would you say he made frontmen step up their game live as far, you know, as far as being able to put on a show?
Like, yeah, I think what he did was, you could say that he did that for all frontmen. You would definitely have to say he did it for frontmen who are playing an instrument. Like, he showed you could play bass or guitar and you can still move around and you can still be the party or whatever. And I think he made, you know, in Kiss, for me anyway, he made you pay attention. Hey, look at us. And then Gene took you over the edge going, you want to look at us because I'm crazy. You know, that kind of thing. But Paul's the one who made you pay attention.
Right. And not only that, I think that there's 100 famous shots of him jumping through the air. There's 100 famous shots of David Lee Roth jumping through the air, but he's not holding a guitar while he's doing it. Or he's not in also, you know, 7-inch boots. But I've seen some pictures of Paul that you're like, man, I don't know how he did this. And that's one of the things that made it amazing. He didn't have to. They could have stalked the stage like Gene does, and he could have been, he didn't have to do the jumping and the, you know, the thing where he jumps in the air and moves his legs, kicks him to the sides, or he didn't have to do any of that, I don't think, because I think the music and the stage show and the act itself would have kept people watching. But Paul, I think he was trying to get more, I think he was trying to get more for people to pay attention to him. Agree?
Yeah, I think it's a catch 22, right? So you get these four guys, they're supposed to be their own characters. You want the fans to almost pick a favorite, you want them to follow the band, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then all these ideas come about all these things we're going to do, and you know, we're starting to get a following and people are starting to love us. And all of a sudden, if I don't do something, Gene is going to take over the show because Gene gets to do stuff I don't do. Right. So then it's like, okay, well, what can I do to bring some of the focus back to me? That whole flying over the crowd during Love Gun or whatever, that only came about, what, halfway into their career? That was never there.
Right. No, that was never there. It came in. Well, he wasn't doing it on the reunion tour, at least the show that I saw, he wasn't doing it. I want to say that it was after that.
Yeah, so that still puts it 20 years, right? So yeah. Maybe in, you know, maybe 60% in their career, 65%. But so he continues to do things that want to make people watch, just like you said, because I think there's something in him that says, if I don't, Gene steals the show, and right. This is not Gene's show.
No, he does not want that.
And personally, I'm sure, you know, maybe you said it out loud, maybe he'll never say it out loud, but if I was Paul, I would have really liked the 80s stuff instead, because he sang the hell out of that stuff, and there was nothing Gene could do without the makeup that was going to make up for that. So nope. He was the show.
He was the show. And if you watch the bootlegs or the kissologies or whatever, Gene is very much out of place. He's very much constantly trying to find himself, and he really didn't until Revenge album came out. Then he kind of fell back into place with the black leather and the beard and the jet black hair. It wasn't all poofed out, and there wasn't a bunch of frilly colors, and so yeah, Paul Stanley took over in the 80s. Now what? Let's talk his banter, man. His talking is legendary. It's one of those things where if you go online right now, there's a YouTube video of something like 50 minutes or an hour of nothing but Paul Stanley running his mouth on stage.
Yeah, what I loved about it, and I tried managing bands for a little while in the 90s. It didn't work out that well, but any band I've ever talked to or any band I ever knew personally has always said, all right, one guy does the talking, period. And I think that's kind of like the Kiss formula, right? Paul does all the talking, period. Nobody else talks. Nobody else says shit. And Gene gets to do his little thing when he's doing a few, Like, still, he doesn't do much talking.
No.
Right? So, now, Paul's banter is classic. Are you kidding me? He's a little nuts, to be honest. But I love that there's one guy doing all the talking. I cannot stand going to, like, I went to go see Kingdom Come, and the drummer was doing the talking. I'm like, dude, just drum.
Right. Have a front man.
Yeah, just nuts. I got to hand it to Alice Cooper, one of the best shows I ever saw. He said, good evening, when he started, drive home safe at the end. He said nothing in between.
Wow. Now, the only thing, we've gotten so used to Paul Stanley's banter, though. If you see him on a few shows on a tour, we know what he's going to say because it doesn't really change up that much. But it does sometimes. We had that really going in Vegas, didn't we?
He changes it up. Calling Dr. Love is when he changes it up a little bit. Like, Tommy from Shout It Out Loudcast is famous for saying, we got global warming, that kind of stuff. Like, calling out the doctor, whatever he says before that, changes up a little bit over the years.
Right. what was the thing that happened when we were in Vegas? He said, I got a question. I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
And that's just who he is. He must have said, but like 80 times in Vegas. I don't know what was going on that day.
I don't know either. But man, it was fun. We had a good time. Paul Stanley is the best. I don't care. For me, hands down, I would rather watch Paul Stanley live. He's a complete package. You agree with that?
He is a complete package. I agree with that. There are other people I enjoy also. But if I had not seen Paul over my years, I would have no one to compare any of those other people to. That's right. For sure.
Yeah, because I can't even imagine what it was like in the 70s to go on after not only Kiss, but Paul Stanley. You're the lead singer of some band, and I'm closing out the show, and I have to follow that dude. And you watch that Winterland show, and you're like, man, I would have never wanted to go on after them. They had it. They were so hungry and so together, and Paul Stanley was a complete – he was the complete showman. Like he said in his book, it was his opportunity to get out of his body, become somebody else, become that – person that he always wished that he was, instead of being that shy kid with one ear that got picked on. Stanley the one-ear monster. So he puts the makeup on and he goes out there and he throws down for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then he's Paul Stanley. He's the star child. I just don't know if we'll ever get an opportunity to have another singer like that. Let me ask you this. What about the other side? What about the side that, where you have people that say, and this is tough because I don't know Paul Stanley and you hear different things. But what I'm saying is what about the Paul Stanley that they say is a tough, like tough as far as business goes, as far as deciding things, what's going to happen, what's not, because you constantly hear, oh, that's Paul Stanley. This happened because of Paul Stanley, you know?
Yeah, I dismiss all that stuff because, first of all, it's his business. He gets to handle it the way he wants, right? But can you imagine how many people have tried to take advantage of him, tread on his name, Gene himself tried to basically blow Kiss up by acting, right? It's like, for all the things he's been through, if I was him, I'd be like, look, there's one guy that calls the shots, period. If you don't like it, you can get the hell out. I don't really care, right? And if he's kind of an ass when he's, you know, to deal with in business or in anything else, the guy's been through a lot. Like, he can't go to the grocery store. Can you imagine? Like, he can't walk through the cruise without probably people jumping on him.
He definitely can't walk around on that cruise. I've seen him come out maybe once or twice to something, but most of the time they hide. Now, I don't know about the grocery shopping. I'm going to tell you why. There's a picture that's circulating right now of Paul at a grocery store, and it has to be newer because he's pushing a buggy and it has like paper towels in it, but he's wearing his Puma shoes. So I don't know, and I couldn't tell exactly which ones they were. I'm imagining that he could go to the grocery store, because the truth is that the average person isn't going to know that's Paul Stanley. But there's still got to be one or two, right, in the store that do.
Yeah, and as long as, I guess, they're not asses, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I've seen pictures of Paul standing out in front of like a Starbucks and somebody's taking a picture and he's giving them the finger.
Because, right, if I'm him and if I've got the history, I guess, that he has, and he's rock royalty. Like, you want to take pictures, you want autographs, you come to the show, you get an opportunity, you pay for it. Period. Right. I don't do that shit for free. Because you're going to make money off of it, and I don't do that shit for free, period, even if you're not going to make money off it. Done.
Right. I understand that, and I understand that 100%. People act like Kiss is the only band that ever did that. That's the other thing that drives me crazy.
You think Mick Jagger is out there signing autographs every time somebody stops him? No way.
No way. Yeah, I heard to get backstage to meet that band is $10,000.
Oh, that's possible. I'll tell you, on the Monsters of Rock cruise, you never see Tom Kiefer. Tom Kiefer, I'm going to be on my third cruise. I've been on two cruises with him on it. Everybody else, no matter who it is out there saying hi, playing at the casino, going to other shows, signing stuff, blah, 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 taking pictures of the people. You don't see Tom Kiefer, period. Because he don't want to deal with it, and he doesn't have to.
Crazy.
So I'm okay with Paul. If he's an ass as a businessman, whatever. You know, if I had an opportunity to be in business with Paul, to do something, I'd just be happy that I'm in business with a guy. I wouldn't be worried about whether he was a dick or not.
Right. And, you know, our friend Keith LaRue, he loves Paul Stanley. I mean, he, and of course he works for him, and I know that that'd be a tough situation if he had nothing but bad things to say, but he's pretty straight with me when I talk to him, and he just talks about Paul as friendly and generous and kind and really cares about what's going on with the band, but, you know, and with his fans, but he has a line, you know?
And I would believe Keith because, well, first of all, Keith's a good person. Second, unlike unpopular people, right? Paul being rock royalty, there's people looking for the worst in him all the time. Right. Keith sees the best in him because he sees him when he's not in the public.
Right. True. And that's got to be eye-opening. His songwriting. Let's talk about that. Paul, I mean, hey. Some of my favorite lyrics come from Paul Stanley. I know you got to look at them to see who helps write and stuff like that. But come on now. Paul Stanley's got some pretty catchy, you know, lyrics. And you could name them. You know, you could constantly name them. It's one of those things where when you realize that Paul Stanley, not Gene Simmons, wrote God of Thunder, it's eye-opening. And now, of course, Ezrin turned it into what it became. But still, Paul Stanley wrote God of Thunder.
Yeah, whether it's the lyrics, whether it's the verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus. Like, he has a way he writes. I kind of like that he doesn't have a vault full of stuff somewhere. I kind of like the idea that, hey, I write when it's time to write, and I don't really write when it's not time to write.
Right.
Cool that he could manage it that way.
Right. You remember when I was on the cruise, I asked him about a Paul Stanley vault. And he said, was it an action figure? I was like, which was funny. And that's when he told us. I don't have all that stuff, which is so surprising, but cool. You know, he lets the inspiration come from the fact that he's got to get it done. He's not always just sitting around writing. At least At least you don't think so.
Yeah, and that's okay, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, he's given us a lot of good songs.
I honestly don't need any more Kiss music. I haven't needed Kiss music since basically Revenge. I don't need any more. Think about how much good stuff got done since Revenge. You can't say there's 30 good songs. I mean, they're listenable, but I mean good.
Right.
And everybody has their own opinion about all that stuff, but you know, none of those albums to me will ever be classics. And that's just me.
One of the things that speaking of the records, a few weeks ago we did the Alive records, you know. Robert Foster wrote us, and it's really weird how Facebook works. You can get messages in so many places. I just stumbled across this, and it's from about a month ago, and I found this. I'm like, man, no notification, no nothing, whatever. But Robert Foster wrote us, and what it says is, if you remember, we were talking about Alive 4. Remember I told you I had an Alive 4 record that was not the symphony, and we didn't understand why, remember?
Yeah.
So he said, guys, the thing with the millennial concert is that it was intended to be Alive 4, but they left their record company still owing them a live record. The Symphony album was put out as Alive 4 under the Kiss Records label. Then their old company put out the Millennial Concert. It is also part of a 4-CD package of Alive recordings with extra tracks, December 25th, 2019. He sent that to me. So it's weird, man. They had two Alive 4s.
That's cool.
It is. But and I wanted to throw that in because I felt bad that he took that time. Thank you for sending that in. And I did not get the opportunity to read it. But yeah, I mean, even if you go and listen to that, I'm Paul Stanley, man. Just to me, the greatest front man of all time. He does everything in boots and playing guitar that you could ever imagine, and everybody that came after him wants to be Paul. I'm making that shit up, but you know, I would want Paul Stanley. I'm just saying, it's just 100% He is Kiss. I know that everybody says Gene is, but Paul's the reason why the band is even still around, because if it would have been up to Gene, he'd have been out.
Yeah, I think anybody, well, and this is obviously an opinion, but I think many share it, is if you got into Kiss in the 80s, just like Jericho, right, who's a huge Paul guy.
Right.
If you got in the 80s, Paul was your guy. Otherwise, you're not into Kiss, period.
Right.
That's the only reason you would have stayed. I'm not sure if Gene would have been the guy jumping through the hoop of fire, but Paul was doing the singing, that it still gets to me like it had, if that makes sense. But all the videos were Paul-centric. He was the good-looking guy. He was the guy who was singing in places nobody could sing. It was the bang zone of his vocal career, probably. Yeah. Like, if you got into the 80s, you are a Paul guy. There is no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. And Jericho's, and speaking of Jericho, you know, his cruise is getting ready to go off this week, I believe. And our buddy Joey Quesada is going to be there. And Joey's book came out. I want to make sure I get this out because it's important to me, because Joey is so, so awesome to us here at Podcast Rock City. His book is out. If you have the book, it's out now on audio, anywhere you could get an audio book. So go out and get it now. I know as a matter of fact, he posted online, I don't know if you saw this, that after just a couple of days, it was like number 20 or 22, right behind Neil Peart. I can't say that, man, because it's Pert to me. But everybody else keeps saying Peart. So Neil Peart's book, and then his. And he's like, how awesome is that? You know. But, that's
pretty cool.
Yeah, and if you haven't gotten that book, you really need to. It's great. And the forward and the audio is done by Chris Jericho. And Joey's going to be on that cruise. If you guys are going to be on that cruise, make sure you take pictures. I want to see them online. Post them. I met a guy one time that listens to our show. I can't remember where I met him. I want to say it was in Indy, or maybe it was it was in line in Atlanta. It's been 2 years since Vinnie Vincent returned. It feels like 10, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's only been two. You got the vault. You brought it to Karen's house. You had the listening party. It was 2 years ago, not 10. Anyway, yeah. So, I mean, Paul Stanley's birthday is here. What more can we say about him except for the fact that he's awesome? He's amazing. He's terrific. He's wonderful. I wish I could sit down with him for 20 minutes and just pick his brain. That would be a lot of fun. I know that's probably never going to happen. I say probably because you never say never, but I would say it's probably a 0.5% that will ever happen. But it would be cool if it would.
I'm looking forward to the Soul Station release, and I'll tell you, because I love all that Motown stuff, and if his vocal range is somewhere between My Way and Tom Jones, I'm good.
Sure.
That would be right? Awesome. It doesn't need to be 87 Crazy Nights vocal range, and I hope he doesn't do that because he'll strain trying to hit the notes. But I think if he hits in his bang zone, he can really make those songs sound great.
Oh, I've never gotten or had the opportunity to see that band. He hasn't done a tour out here in any way, but I've watched the video, and I like it. I like that kind of stuff, too, so it will be fine with me if he when Kiss finished, if he did a little bit of that, I wouldn't have a problem with that. And he loves that stuff too. He's very talented. I have, when he did the Phantom of the Opera, I have the video of that, and it's great. As far as Paul Stanley goes, I thought it was very good. It's way out of his comfort zone, which I admire the fact that he even took a shot, you know?
Yeah, it just depends. I hope the Soul Station stuff does well. We'll see how this end of the road ends.
Yes, we will. And it's not it's not that far off now. It's getting closer and closer and closer, and we're still so curious about what's going to happen. We'll wait and see. The other thing, you know, when we were talking about the Kiss Cruise earlier, one of the things that I wanted to bring up was I'm thinking, now I know that they're not allowed to fire fireworks off from the ship, but Karen says Disney does it, but they're in port or docked or something like that when they do it. And she said that at one point there was two barges that pulled up that were off the sides of the boat, you know, and they were the things firing off fireworks. She said it was amazing. So maybe because of the 10th cruise, Kiss wanted to do a show on the top deck so they can do all the fireworks and everything. So I know I just changed the subject, but I just want everybody to be thinking about this kind of stuff, because you got 9 months and the fussing is off the chain. If I could stand somewhere, see the show and have the fireworks and everything going off at the same time, that would be, I think, extra special. On the Monsters of Rock, did they do anything like that? Any fireworks or anything?
No. No fireworks at all. And I mean, I've been up till 1 o'clock in the morning, so there's so much going on, dude. You don't have time for really fireworks. So hold on. Let me I got this text. Where the hell did it go? Because they released, I want to give you an idea of the Monsters of Rock, because I don't know if the Kiss Cruise does something similar. This is the day that we land in Belize. So at 10 o'clock, Jason Bieler, Java Jam. So then they skip to 1, so that way you can go into the port if you want. At 1 o'clock, Shiraz Lane. 1:30, Steelheart. 2 o'clock, Eddie Trunk. 2:15, Slaughter. 3:15, Keel. 3:45, Winger. 4:30, George Lynch Guitar Clinic. 5:15, Cold Sweat Q&A. 5:30, Extreme. 6, Heat. 6:30, Doro. 6:30, you can also do a photo experience with King's X, Lizzie Borden, and Lynch Mob. 7 o'clock, you can have dinner with Dave and Jill Menichetti from Y&T. 7 o'clock, Shiraz Lane is doing Q&A. 7:15, Ben Woods. 8 o'clock, Vixen. 8:30 is a costume contest. 8:30, you can see Black and Blue. 9 o'clock, DAD. 9 o'clock, also White Trash plays in a different place. 9:30, Trooper Beer Party. 10:30, Honeymoon Suite. 10:45, Max Sabbath. 11 o'clock, Simon Daniels. 11:30, the Choir Boys. 12 o'clock, you can do karaoke. 12:45 a.m., Kingdom Come. And at 1 o'clock, you can be at one of the end of the boat and see the Atomic Punks, or you can go to the other end of the boat and see Faster Pussycat. That is one day.
One day. I just heard you say White Trash. I would love to be there to see that band. I love that band. Yeah. Their debut record kicked ass.
Yeah. But isn't that crazy?
That's a full damn day. Full damn day.
And that's a day we're on port. Think about what happens when we're not. You don't have time for fireworks.
No, that's true. All right, so that's going to be it for the show. Happy birthday, Paul Stanley. I'm sure you're listening. We love you. Rockin' roll. That's going to be at the end of the show. You have anything to add there, Sonny?
No, just want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks for all the support. And, you know, go buy your Kiss Cruise tickets if you want. I think it's still worth going. Still Kiss. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Jody wasn't here today. He had to work. And you know how we are. Make that money. Thank you guys for listening. I'm trying not to be sick anymore. Again, last week, right in the middle of the show, I started feeling bad. I've got to keep watching my health, man, so I can be here for the last Kiss show. but I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right here. We'll knock on some wood. And you know what I'm going to say? We love Kiss, and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this. In 3, 2, 1, peace.
this moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.